Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 296 co-main event for the flyweight title, defending champion Alejandro Pantoja taking on Brandon Royval in a rematch. I have done a War Room for all of the fights on this card, so the first three I've just recorded. I'm going to be doing the main event after this as well. Make sure you check them all out, and please give us a like and a subscribe. We very much appreciate it. Okay, this fight is... I mean, there are so many fights on this card to look forward to. I kind of feel like people have been looking over this one. But two of the most exciting fighters on the roster, two of the most dangerous fighters on the roster as well. You know, Pantoja is a legitimate maniac. Like the way that he fights, the recklessness sometimes that you see in his fights, you can see there's an anger there that he fights with, which... You know, I mean, I just like watching it. It's not necessarily the best way to fight, you know, but at the same time, when you see someone fighting with that kind of rage, you can't help but watch it, because the intensity that he brings to the cage is another level. And on the other side, Royval, he's in there flowing and having fun. There's a chaos to his game as well, but it doesn't have the same kind of anger backing it up, I don't feel. There's not that same kind of like gritted teeth emotion, which makes him a lot looser, and he's probably more efficient generally. It does allow him to have a good steady work rate, where he's able to flow from one range to another and throw random things at his opponents. Both of these guys can be quite chaotic, and they're very good at flowing through the ranges. Instead of trying to control one particular range, they don't mind if this fight changes gears and hits the floor, as we saw in their first fight. So quick tale of the tape from UFC stats. We've got 26-5 for Pantoja and 15-6 for Royval. Shorter average fight time for Royval at 6:28 compared to 11:11 on Pantoja's side. Height advantage for Royval by 4 inches. Reach advantage is just 1 inch. Higher striking output by Pantoja. Better striking defense. Better striking accuracy. More takedowns on average. Lower takedown accuracy. Better takedown defense. Submission average, both of these guys have got a lot of submission attacks, but Royval is 2.3. It's because he is literally like machine gunning submission attempts. He's very good at chaining things together and quite happy. And what I like about this, and this is, you know, you look at someone's takedown stats. If the takedown stat isn't great, I mean, you know, 44% for Pantoja, even though they're failing takedowns, they're not letting go of the person, right? Like Khabib, I think he's 38-ish%, something around that region. But what you'll see with Khabib's style is that he goes for a takedown and lets it go and chains to another and lets it go and chains to another. This is a very exhausting style of fighting. And just the same as it is with takedown defense, if you're having to defend one takedown after the next, you're going to get exhausted in the process, and you're on the back foot. So on the judges' scorecards, you're losing if you can't do anything to remedy the situation. Same thing with Royval. These sub attempts count for something. If he's constantly chasing things, then he's the one that's on the front foot dictating the pace. And Pantoja can get reckless at times. You know that he did great with his ground game, and his ground game is formidable. But there were times in the first fight where he was dealing with ankle lock attempts and stuff. And, you know, there's no doubt that Royval is going to have the confidence to try his ground game on the floor with Pantoja again, even though he lost the first one by submission. If we look at their records, where they're at right now, so let's just have a quick look. So where are we at? Pantoja. So 26 wins on his record, 8 by knockout, 10 by submission. Never been stopped, never been finished, never been knocked out, never been submitted. The 5 losses on Pantoja's record are all by decision. On Royval's side, you've got 15 wins, 5 by knockout, and 8 by submission. So he's very, very rarely going the distance. Two fights by decision that he's won, 4 that he's lost. He's also got the submission loss, which is the only real probably like legitimate loss on his record. The Brandon Moreno one was a dislocated shoulder, Jamie, remind me. Yeah. Yeah, like that's an unfortunate situation that does go down as a TKO on his record. But the rear naked choke was like Pantoja took it from him, you know, and that's a lasting memory. And from that, he went on to have three really good wins. Rogerio Bontorin is a tough individual. Went the distance with him, won by split, guillotine Machnell in the first round, and then stopped Mateus Nicolau with knees and elbows. Two performance of the night bonuses. I really like the way that Royval fights, and I think that the fact that he can be relaxed and the fact that he does allow himself to kind of flow from one position to another, it can work really well for him. But I also think they're the moments that he can potentially lose it to Pantoja like he did in their first fight. He looked a little too relaxed having his back taken in that fight. He looked like he was thinking too much about escaping the lower body and left his neck available. And Pantoja, he's got that instinct in him to finish fighters. And that's why he can get reckless sometimes, especially if you've seen he's hurt somebody. You can see him then kind of open up and start to swing. And because he sometimes has longer hair, it looks more dramatic. And you can see how much he's putting effort into these punches. Like, the smarter fighter out of the two of these is going to win. And I think I said this on one of the other episodes. Because you have the experience, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make the better decisions. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to fight like the more mature fighter because you've got more experience. Like, you can draw a fight out of Pantoja. Like, you look at his fight against Moreno, and you can see the moments where he gets drawn into fights because Moreno's quick and we're stinging him with the jab. And then you see Pantoja, like, he has that rage comes up inside him and he just starts to swing for people. Like, if you're Brandon Royval going into this and you know this quality of Pantoja that he kind of can't get around because he's never been able to so far, I would be looking at teasing that out of him as best I could. And this requires him to fight smart, make good decisions. Like, use his speed and his looseness and his height and reach advantage to kind of sting and move in and out and draw Pantoja in and make him feel foolish and make him feel like he's being outclassed, because that's where you're going to get that rage to be triggered, and then Pantoja starts to really swing. And the more people try and hit you with power, the easier it is to see them coming, because you see this surge in their body where they start to wing and wind up. A friend of mine used to go to kickboxing and Thai boxing shows and offer for people to come and try and punch him. And the people that were most difficult to deal with, you know, get out the crowd, they've had a few beers, they put a pair of boxing gloves on, and he's there with his gloves and his mouth guard, but he's not punching them back. They can literally just swing at him as much as they want. The ones that maintain their composure were always more difficult to deal with because they were more interested in touching and placing their shots. The ones that miss the first punch and start to get more excited usually ended up going through the ropes because they would overpunch. Absolutely, you can see Royval doing that to Pantoja if he chooses his moments, right? Fight with an ebb and a flow. Move into his range and sting him and then move away and let him fall into that space with that chaotic style of striking that he's got. If you find yourself in the clinch with him, hit him with an elbow and a knee and get out of there, you know? Don't linger in those moments where Pantoja is going to start cracking you, because he's got power in both hands and he's got a very strong ground game. So if you can play into the emotion that he brings to the cage, you can definitely force him to waste energy. This is a 25-minute fight. I would be very, very, very much investing in the idea of getting Pantoja to waste his own energy, because although he stays dangerous all the way through the fight, he does get more predictable. He gets more planted on his feet. And this is where, if Royval is able to stay more relaxed and less angry, he might be able to utilize his ability to to the best of his advantage, is probably the best way of putting it. I expect if they hit the floor, they're both going to be attempting submissions. I think Royval is going to have more submission attempts. He's going to go for an arm and then for a leg and then try and scramble out and take the back. And as he's getting back to his feet, he might get a sniff of a guillotine and jump on it, because that's the kind of fighter that he is. It was the Kai Kara France fight was coming to mind. I think I was on comms for that. Just a chaotic fight for as long as it lasted, but a whiff of a guillotine and he was on it in a second. Again, something that Royval can capitalize on if Pantoja's A, tired, B, reckless, or, you know, C, hurt. You know, he might get caught with a good shot and Pantoja might get rocked for a second. Having said all of that, I feel like Pantoja's probably physically the stronger fighter, and I think he's probably got heavier hands and probably a better ground game as well, kind of overall. I feel like Pantoja's basics, fundamentals on the ground are better, which means that he's most likely going to be able to slow Royval down in those chaotic scrambles. Less submission attempts, but more position over submission, more consideration to the setup of the submission. But again, if he gets angry and he'll jump on something, you know, there's a benefit and a detriment. If he jumps on a guillotine and it's there and he's squeezing the life out of it, then he's going to get attacked very quickly. But if he jumps on a guillotine and it's not quite there, or Royval's just managed to get his chin tucked and Pantoja's squeezing the life out of him, even if it's for 5 seconds, that's going to take a toll on him. So, you know, again, good decision-making from Pantoja is going to be a key. And I don't know whether he can maintain his composure quite as well as Royval can. But this fight for me is a real coin toss. I feel like they've both got the stopping capability to really, really do a lot of, do a lot of damage to one another. I think this is more about who can take control of themselves and their emotions, and utilize their vast experience. They've both got lots of experience, and good level experience as well. If they can use that experience, coupling it with maturity, that's where you get fight IQ. You know, volume of fights doesn't necessarily lead to fight IQ, unfortunately. There are a lot of people that have got loads of fights and they never really fight smart. There are people that have had 6 fights and they're very, very intelligent. But with the experience that these guys have got, the only thing that they really need to do is rein in their recklessness a little bit and apply some logic to it. And I think that's really what's going to determine this fight. It will be the person that is able to manage themselves in the moment and make those better decisions. And I think Royval's probably a little bit closer because he doesn't fight with that same kind of aggression that Pantoja can do at times. But of course, this is going to be a great fight and we're all looking forward to it. So go wild, guys. Get crazy in there. All right. Enjoy these fights. I'll see you next time.